figure number 11. Okay. It looks very much similar to the previous one.
No, actually, there is a big difference.
There is?
I didn't have numbers for order drive-back. And the thing here is that for a journal, XT4 and XT3, order drive-back is really, really bad.
Oh, you mean figure 12 then? Okay. I think...
No, it's figure 11. Well, here is figure 11. I don't know. I think I didn't update it the last version.
Okay. I see. So what is the... So the key difference is that ordered write back doesn't do very well for EXT4 or EXT...
For the journal versions of EXT3 and EXT4. And okay, let me compile it again. Just 1 second. I just updated the paper.
Okay.
Yeah, and also that journal write back in some cases is better than write back.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be because, in this case, Journal Write Back 400 is a very large journal. And I think it has an advantage over Write Back, which is that, it prefetches, it cleans blocks ahead of time. In some cases, that's good.
Which figure are we looking at?
12.
12.
Okay, so let's revisit the goals of this experiment, right? The goal of this experiment, Ricardo, what in your mind is the goal of this experiment?
Well, I wanted to see what happens at different cache sizes for all write policies. And I thought that changing the file system is effectively changing the workload, so I wanted to see what happens with different workloads, different file systems.
Hmm. And the write back journal that 400, what does 400 mean?
400 is 400 megs of a journal.
Okay. So 400 megabytes of staleness.
Yes.
Okay. I see. And is there a significant difference between 100 and 400? I guess so, right?
I have to plot it, but there is like a step on 150. Mm-hmm. After 150, performance starts to be close to write back, but before that, performance is very close to write through.
Hmm. Okay. This is interesting. So I think with this experiment, we can actually argue that regardless of the file system, the write back, ordered and journaled options do better than write through. Is that?
No, except for journaled file systems.
Except for journal file systems.
EXT4 journal and EXT3 journal.
Hmm.
Or the write back, which is the blue star, is below the red line in all cases.
I see. And write back journal is also below the red line. Journal at 100.
Yeah, but the small journal.
Yeah, small journal. Hmm. That is kind of weird. I mean, why would they be below the red line?
Well, journal write back should be above the red line. I mean, any gap is maybe within some implementation overhead. And ordered write back has to be below because of the...
Or cache hit ratio.
Yes, because of figure 13. Which in this specific experiment should be more of a gap between the heats of order it and the other ones.
Right. And it seems like in case of ordered and right back, the trends are reversed for write through and journal write back, and maybe even write through and ordered write back.
Yeah, it seems that, yeah.
Yeah, the problem is that we have kind of confusing terminology. We have a write back ordered, we have write back journaled, and we have ext for journal and ordered,
Yeah.
and ext for write back. It's just too confusing here.
Yeah. Then, I don't know, I thought that these new numbers would actually stay because they are interesting. But if they are confusing, I don't know, I can think about a way of making it more clear.
I don't mean to say that the numbers are confusing. I'm just saying that the terminology is so confusing here because we have ext4 and ext3 journaling modes, and we have our write back implementation, and it has its own modes, ordered and journaled. Right, so I'm just talking about the confusing terminology here that we need to somehow deal with when we explain this thing. Otherwise, whoever is reading it is going to go crazy.
It's actually exactly the same terminology. Yeah, it's bad. I don't know. I have to think about it.
What we can probably do is for the ext3 and ext4 modes, we can have like some special, at least when we write it, we can have some special font so that, or maybe even abbreviation of these modes so they're not so confusing.
I can call it EXT3A, EXT3B, and EXT3C or something like that.
No, let's do J, O, and W.
Yeah, but that's also the same as we have.
Oh, shoot. Then maybe just special font. It's the only thing I can think of. Also, Ricardo, we need access ticks, tick labels.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, otherwise this graph is not complete, cannot be read otherwise. So what I would recommend is that you do ticks only for the bottommost row on the x-axis.
Oh, yeah. Okay, to have space for the other ones. Okay.
And do only ticks for the to the on the leftmost column for the y-axis.
Okay, I'll do.
Bottom row and left column for the x and y-axis.
Okay, I like that. Okay.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about the motivation plot with TPCC.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been able to do anything with that?
No, I'm running that. Takes a couple of hours. I should get the numbers for write through in a while, but in my laptop. And after all 43, I'll take the numbers for all four again.
Well, I would say laptop is good enough because we have other things to do also.
Yeah, the bad thing about the laptop is that the difference between the disk and the SSD is not so huge as in L4.
Oh, I see.
And you can also see that difference in figure 12, right? Compared to figure 11, for example. There you have a difference of 500 to 25. Here you have a difference of 150 to 300. Only twice.
Yeah, I see what you mean. And these are the same workload?
Pretty much.
11
yeah.
and 12.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hmm.
So even, I mean, given that it's for the motivation, we need an extreme example. So I guess I should be taking those numbers from all four.
Yeah. And your laptop is does not have an iSCSI remote connection, right?
No, no. It's just a remote disk drive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an external drive.
I see.
But I have an SSD for all my home and everything. And that's what I'm using.
Mm-hmm.
The car.
Right. I see. Okay. Okay, so what's the plan? What is the next plan? Ricardo, what do you want to do?
I want to finish the TPCC numbers on my laptop, and I also need to get some numbers for performance versus stillness, because this figure 14 is wrong. And I also want to get some numbers of staleness when I performance and staleness when I vary the write intensity of the Postman workload.
Okay. And can you what is the parameter in Postman that allows you to do that?
Well, there is a parameter that. Okay. You want to know specifically? I can. I mean,
no, no, approximately. No. Just conceptually.
The trait that varies reads compared to appends.
Oh, okay.
And right now it's 50-50.
I see. Okay.
Because my hypothesis is that, I mean, staleness, performance versus staleness will keep the same. If we maintain the intensity of the write, it just depends on the intensity of the write.
Okay.
For example, if I increase the working set size, it will be the same.
Hmm.
But if I make more writes compared to reads, it will start to getting worse. I mean, you will need larger journals. I wanted to confirm that.
Okay. Yeah. So the other thing which I wanted to talk about is the trading off staleness for performance model and the validation of the model somehow that Ming has been working on. And I was looking at the Designing for Disasters paper. It points out three different types of applications that where a staleness is maybe acceptable, and as long as you associate a cost to the staleness. So the first type of application is it's a file server with low priority accounts, right? So
there is a file bench file server workload I could use that.
Okay, and then there is one which is document server. I don't know if we have a benchmark that mimics the behavior of a document server, where people create documents, store documents, modify them, and so on. It's kind of similar to a file server, but there was a different application in the paper itself. And then the third application that the paper talked about was online retailer, with where you have orders, catalog, purchasing, payments, and things of that kind.
So that would be TPCC, right?
I guess that would be TPCC. Okay, so we have at least two of those applications covered, if we have TPCC and if we have the other one was file bench file server, right?
So yes.
So maybe we could just use TPCC as our application for validating the model that Ming has been working on. and not to mess with another benchmark at this point, or not to add another benchmark, because we don't have any file bench yet, right?
No, but well, actually, we kind of have, because I was using FileBench for checking that the module was correct. So I have it ready. I know it works.
Okay.
It's just that I didn't store the results, but I can redo it.
Okay, so the FileBench file server could be an addition as well. Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, and that's way much easier than doing the traces right now, because I can get it right now.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think the traces would be very nice because it has burstiness in it, but I think we have sufficient justification for the design even without the trace replay. I think the trace replay will only strengthen the case.
And yeah.
Maybe we can do it for the next revision of the paper. Okay, so let's discuss the structuring of the evaluation section. How do we present the results?
Just one more thing before we continue. I wanted to know from Leonardo how, if the module is stable, how things are going for the other thing, you know?
It's not been very stable. After a while, it has.
Do you know what kind of error, or are you able to get at least one run?
I haven't even been able to complete not even one complete run. It runs a load, a set of operations, one cycle of each, maybe two, but I haven't been able to run five of each to calculate averages and things like that.
But at least you have one run, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, let's use that for the new meanwhile, right?
All right, but I don't even have one for all workloads.
Oh, okay.
What is the main issue, Leo, you think? I mean, is there a problem with all the write-through policies or with just one of them?
Right, I haven't been able to test not even all of them. I'm still working with regular write-back.
Oh, with regular write-back. I see. So this is a conventional write-back implementation, right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And do you get an error? What do you get?
I don't get anything. The computer becomes slower and slower and slower. At some point, I cannot even log into it.
It's probably a memory leak.
It seems like memory, right?
Yeah. It's a memory leak.
Yeah, it seems like a memory leak.
This computer doesn't have a lot of memory, by the way.
Which is good, because we're catching the bugs early. And if it had a lot of memory, then, we might be able to run part of the experiment, and the remaining part of the experiment, the system is not performing optimally, and we won't even know.
Right now, as we speak, I have to reboot the computer and start again the same run because it was not responding.
You are booting with half a gig of RAM or a full gig of RAM?
Right now, it's working with half a gig of RAM, which is the last configuration.
Okay. One gig, and if it works, I mean, we can confirm that's memory, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could try that.
So why don't you try this, Leonardo, in the background while we talk?
Right now, I have a complete cycle of a load and a restore for a workload that is KCPC, read and write.
Uh-huh.
We can even see the numbers if you guys want to take a look right now.
Okay.
Logging into O4 using the Scilab account and the password that you guys know. And Ty Timo. Space A. Send it to the shell. It's the shell for everybody or not? You have to type Linux A after you log in.
Oh, okay, I see.
Okay, I'm there.
I'm not there yet. I'm mistyping the password over and over again. Okay, now I'm in.
Okay. So, you do see, okay. So you see how the numbers are going up, right?
Yeah, this is four right back, right?
Yes. So I'm going to count to this one. Slow.
Machine is slow.
Okay. So the configuration that we're using for the module are this one, which is at the moment, right policy is right back. It's a regular right back. So that's the one that might even cause inconsistency, right?
Yeah, should be okay. But I mean, yeah, but I didn't have very large runs, and you are, so maybe it's memory.
No, but I also had some information because Cassandra, I know it implements a log, it writes to a log, and then I think it moves it to the other processing area.
Mm-hmm.
And this previous last run that I had to reboot the machine, it was in an inconsistent state. I had to delete everything that was in the device. Anyway,
oh.
Let's look at the numbers that we have so far. So, test. This is, remember, the workload is 50-50. So we can look at the short of the short loads.
Leo, one thing which I'm immediately curious now is, what happens if there is no cache? What is the performance?
Without running this experiment
without the module.
I did that, but I did it with a very slow number of records.
Okay. All right. So I think that's something which we should run also.
Here we have, okay, so this is overall the runtime, microseconds, the throughput, and these are the numbers for updates. Down there we have the numbers for insert and things like that, and maybe read. So this number make any sense to you guys, the average latency?
Not all until we compare it to something, right? We should compare it to write through, or at least.
Yeah, or no caching.
Or no caching, yeah.
Do you see a lot of variance here? I do see that the max latency is 1 second, whereas the average is 2 milliseconds. Ninety-nine percentile is 29 milliseconds. So there is some either there is let's say some instability that happens over time, and over towards the end, perhaps there is the latencies go up, or there is burstiness in the workload itself. So you will see variance in the response times.
As far as I know, there is no sense of burstiness. Option that the framework has, it's a parameter that's called target. And you can say, I want you to target this many operations per second.
Okay.
And without using that parameter, which means that it's going to try to do as many items as possible. Also, this was run using, as you can see there, four threads. First, the second line has all the parameters. We are using 10 to the 5 operations.
I can barely hear Leo because there is a dog barking in the background.
Oh yeah, it's my dog. One sec.
You have a dog?
Four dogs.
Alright, I'm sure they can.
Hopefully those dogs will not depend on you.
No, they don't.
And this is a similar number for reads. Remember, this is a workload that is 50% write, 50% read.
So it's weird that the reads take longer than the updates. I guess, yeah, that makes sense because this is write back. That makes sense. So the reads on an average take 9 milliseconds, and the updates on an average take 2 milliseconds. And that's what I'm seeing here.
And it makes sense, right? It's to be expected.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, by the way, I changed that server, so now the server is regular and it has a RAID 1. At the end, I created RAID 1, right? You're supposed to be right here.
Okay, that's fine.
I changed the more standard configuration.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so this seems fine. The only concern we have right now is, by the way, the numbers that I'm seeing in the stream of numbers that I'm seeing, they're individual latencies. You know, the all the 900 and up numbers of for updates that I'm seeing on the screen right now.
I think it's just a histogram, right?
Yeah.
It's a histogram of, I'm navigating here.
That's fine.
Is that histogram, time-based histogram?
I don't know how to read those numbers, right, honestly.
Because
so far I have only been looking at the results that it provides, not this. But I do know that it has some parameters that it reports to you on a timely manner, so yeah, you can build histograms.
I see.
But
yeah.
I don't know how to read this number.
Yeah, because if I look on the screen now, I have update number 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so on. They have pretty big numbers next to them. And then after 11 or so on, it goes down, and beyond a certain point, it's just zeros and ones. And maybe twos. So I don't know what that second column of numbers actually is. The first one just seems the sequence number of the operation. The second set of the second row, I don't know what that is. What is that? I have no idea. And now the same thing for reads. Again, it's the same trend, I think. Would be good to know what these numbers are. That might also give us a clue whether we have a performance issue. If we see that the numbers keep increasing or something like that, which I can't make out from this data, but if we know better about the data, we can consider those questions. So Leo, right now, what the issue is that you are able to run one experiment, but then as you run more, eventually at some point the system crashes, right?
So far it has been very unstable, yes. I think I'm going to have to reboot the machine after every number of iterations, after every benchmark or things or something like that.
So I think that kind of confirms that it's a memory leak, because if you leak memory in a module and you remove the module, the memory is leaked anyways. So I think that's the problem.
So Leo, is that a good understanding? So what's happening is that you insert the module, run an experiment, you remove the module, right? And then you reinsert the...
The way I've been running the experiments is that I load the module once and I keep running experiments. But over time it becomes slower and slower, the machine, and to the point that it's unresponsive.
Uh-huh.
Remember, Ricardo, last night we started running experiments with 10 to the 6th number of records and operations.
Yeah, it hanged or something, yeah.
Yes.
I disconnected.
Which is why I have to come today to the lab, because the machine, I couldn't even do any hesitation to it.
Well, by the way, for all the numbers I'm getting for PulseMag and everything, I'm removing the module and cleaning the page cache at every iteration.
I'm doing the same thing here. Before I do a low and before I do a set of operations, I clean the cache.
I also remove the module. So if it's I don't know.
But how is that
going to
help me?
Well, I'm just telling you what I'm doing, and then we can try to analyze it, but that's what I'm doing. So that's the only difference I'm seeing.
Let me see if we have new numbers for runs. So we have a second set of numbers for runs.
What is run?
Yeah. So we have three set of loads, and now it's executing a third set of runs.
But you don't need so many runs, just get one.
I think for now, if we get one set of numbers for every configuration of the write caching, that would be more important than getting whole bunch of runs for one configuration.
Okay.
Once we have all the numbers we want, then we could, get more confidence by doing secondary runs. That's what I would suggest as well.
Okay. So I'm gonna try to get for this number of keys at least one round for every workload, and
I'm gonna
start by getting numbers with no cache, because those seem to be easier to get. The system is fairly stable if I don't use the cache.
Right.
Okay.
Once I do that, I'm gonna try to get at least one number per workload per write policy.
Yes. Exactly. So that would, I think that would be the priority. That should be the priority for us, so that we can actually plot some charts. We can always change the data in the charts later on, but if we don't have all the data, we don't have chart. Right. So let's try to create that chart first.
Right.
So I'm thinking of just one big chart where you have clustered bars. Actually, there may be several such big charts, one for each metric, right? So for instance, throughput is one big chart and latency is another big chart. But every cluster of bars is a workload, and within each cluster, individual bars are different write policies. Or we could also cluster based on write policies, and have individual bars within a cluster are workloads. I would say try both option and see which one is easier to read.
Okay.
I'm guessing that clustering based on workloads will be better, because then it would be easier to compare the bars within a single cluster. They are all the same workload. So, Leo, have you done charts like this? Do you need any help with that?
I haven't, but I don't think it should be too difficult, right? There are plenty of examples on the web.
Okay.
If I'm not going to spend too much time trying to do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. If you're spending too much time, just email Ricardo or me, and we'll send you a sample.
Use Figure 3 as a template.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly.
Figure 3 is already similar.
Which one would be a write policy?
Each one would be a workload. Each cluster would be a workload, and within each cluster, each bar would be a write policy.
Including no cache, right?
Including no cache, yes.
Okay. I'm going to focus on getting this over. Planning and shouldn't be difficult. But I'm afraid not again. I guess I'm going to be stuck here for a while because I have to be here to reboot the machine manually.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. Hopefully, we'll fix this problem so that you don't have to be here all the time for the rest of your life. I would say don't go in that direction right now because you'll end up spending more time setting things up. For now, let's just go with your current setup and let's try to get numbers with whatever time we have. I'm afraid that if we switch the environment right now, we might have other unknown issues that we'll have to deal with. Okay, so let's talk about the structure of the evaluation section. How do we break it up? First of all, what all do we have right now? Ricardo, do you have suggestions on how we can structure the evaluation?
Let me see. No, not really.
Let's think about what are the questions we want to answer.
Well, for a start, we need a section at the end for analysis of, performance versus staleness and all that stuff, just for the journal write-back.
Yeah.
That's a different independent section I want to work on. And before that, we need... compare the four write policies with all kind of workloads we can think of.
And also include the no cache as a policy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to have that. Okay, so the one aspect is the performance evaluation, right? And the other aspect I think is the staleness evaluation.
Yeah.
For the same set of experiments, we have to discuss both of these goals, right? The performance goal and the staleness trade-off. Okay, so for each of these, I think we have benchmark. We are using benchmarks, and we have sets of benchmarks. I'm trying to think about what is the distinct value that each of these benchmarks actually adds, and how are these benchmarks different?
What you found on this other paper, Designing for Disasters, that they mentioned these three type of applications. We can have a section on that, mention those three workloads and have an experiment for those.
Okay. That would be specifically the performance versus staleness trade-off. charts, right?
No. Well, if you want to, but I was, it should be there.
That would be the last section you were talking about, last subsegment.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, prior to that, what are we doing? I think one subsection that I see here, because we already have the data, is the sensitivity to the actual file system.
Yes, and the intensity of write for the workload.
The write intensity.
Yeah.
And what benchmark are we using for doing the write intensity?
Also Postman.
Also Postman. Okay. So I think those two are, in some sense, the Postman is seems like a centerpiece benchmark for this evaluation section, right? Because we have the basic performance evaluation, we have the sensitivity to the write load, and we have sensitivity to the file system type. I'm wondering if that's the right breakup of the material. So, I mean, does it make sense for us to have a section, subsection first discussing the Postman, and then the next subsection discussing, TPCC, and then the next subsection discussing the YCSB benchmark, and then the final subsection that does the staleness performance trade-off evaluation? That doesn't sound very good.
Can I interrupt you guys for a second?
Yeah.
For instance, can you take a look at the screen right now?
Yeah.
So I stopped the other benchmark because I had enough points. I unloaded the module. Now I run it again without having a module, which is, I'm calling that the no patch.
Yeah.
You can see how I'm spending 120 seconds and no operation is being performed.
Right.
That's stuck.
I see.
This is the actual Cassandra server. There's nothing going on here because no requests have been coming, or there seems to be some sort of exception here.
Well, there is an invalid argument exception on the very first line. Runtime exception.
Yeah.
File not found. There is a file missing. You see the first line up there and the error?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm going to have to run it again.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
Right. So, but that doesn't sound very good. It seems like an evaluation which is not very well thought out.
Oh, well, one more thing. I mean, those three applications that they mentioned on designing for disasters, I mean, we don't have to use them for the staleness analysis. It's just that these applications are the one that can handle staleness, right? And we are adding one to those, which is Facebook kind of applications.
Yeah.
So we do an analysis for all of them.
Yeah.
And then we do a sensitivity analysis by using Postman.
Okay. Okay. So. Okay. So can you review the subsections of the evaluation section and what are the goals of each subsection?
Well, the first goal is study what happens in terms of performance for the applications that can tolerate staleness.
Okay. And doing that requires running all benchmarks or just one benchmark?
I was thinking of TPCC plus the Facebook application and PowerBench.
What about Postman?
And also Postman, yes. Postman will be, I think they define it as a mail server, I think.
Right.
Also Postman, and then we do a sensitivity analysis with Postman because Postman runs are fast.
Mm-hmm.
And we try different, file systems, because that's a honest question, right? What will happen with different file systems, because that can effectively change the workload.
Right.
And also the intensity of write, and then as a final section, what happens with staleness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I heard three subsections there. The first
yes.
subsection is the performance evaluation, the second subsection is the sensitivity analysis, and the third subsection is the staleness performance, evaluating the staleness performance trade-off.
Yeah, and if we have the module to, you know, sorry, the model for the means model,
yeah.
we can also add a section for that at the end.
That's the last section I'm thinking of anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, for that model, we have to have some data that says, okay, at a certain performance, we incur a certain amount of data loss.
Okay.
That's what his model needs.
Okay. Does he have an idea about the experiment?
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to contact him. He's away at a conference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the one of the issues I'm facing right now is that he's away. And so it's, but I'm just, he said that he's going to write something up and commit it yesterday. I'm still waiting. So, but hopefully it'll happen. Have a chance to do it today.
Okay. Well, I can also send him a mail saying that
yeah.
maybe before that he can give us what he wants from our side, you know, from
right.
experiments and all that.
So, Ricardo, here's what I suggest. Why don't you tell him what is possible, that here are the benchmarks and that are that map to the applications in the designing for disaster study, right? And
okay.
then ask him what experiments would he like us to run.
Okay.
Yeah, just copy me on the email so I know what's going on.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So I think we have a reasonable plan. I sort of know what the evaluation section looks like, although I'm not entirely, I mean, delighted with the structure, but I can't think of an alternate suggestion at this point.
Okay. Well, another section that people usually expect is on, if we say something about our overheads, you know.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree. The computational and memory overheads of what
yeah.
we're doing. And also the consistency evaluation, right?
Oh, yeah, that. At least say something about it.
Hmm. Yeah, I remember that we had a discussion about how the John Wilkes paper did a state machine-based model for proving consistency. Right.
Yeah, but right now somebody has to spend time doing it.
We don't have time. We don't have
yeah.
time. Yeah. That would have been ideal. In the absence of that, I'm wondering what it is that we can do. Except say something lame as, okay, we crashed the system and we mounted the file system again and it was all good, right? Which
yeah.
which is better than nothing, but we have to do that to claim it.
Yeah.
I know that Linux kernel has file ingestion infrastructure. I don't understand how it works, but maybe it's worth spending time looking into that.
I think it's worth spending time looking into it if we have the time. I'm afraid that we don't. But in the future, we should. I agree. All right, so let's work on these items. I think there is a lot of things to do for us now. Let's meet again sometime tomorrow. And I'm not sure about my availability for tomorrow, but perhaps we could just sync up our email. How available are you, Ricardo, over email?
I can check email every lunch and at night, at dinner.
Okay, it's good for us to know that, to not expect an immediate response from you.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, it sounds good. So, we can expect a response around 2 p.m. and around, I guess, 8 or 9 p.m., right?
8 or 9, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good. And please add, while you are online, please add my email to those papers.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I can actually, because if you drop out of the, drop off Earth, then I should still be able to submit.
Okay. That's the first thing I'm doing.
And add the, for the right caching paper, please add Nisha and Swami's authorship also.
Okay.
As I had mentioned in the email. And Ming Zhao.
Yeah, okay.
All right?
Okay, great. You sent me the emails, right? The email?
I did. And the and the order also.
Okay.
Right, so please do that. Otherwise,
okay.
I'm I become a little nervous.
Yeah, no, don't worry about it. I will do it right now.
Okay. All right, we'll keep in touch via email. If there are any updates, please write emails.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.